Master Lord, wonderful Savior. Master Lord, thank you for your grace today. Thank you, Lord, that we can still come before the throne of God to worship our great and wonderful, gracious, merciful God, who revealed himself to us in Christ Jesus. Give us this life. Life that is full of joys. Life, O Lord, that is real. We thank you, Lord. So, Father, even as now we approach thee in thy word, we ask for your grace to break it down. We may have things learned before, but Lord, we still need to have all these things bring to our memory. And even as we learn from day to day, we need to keep all those words that you have learned, Father, that you have heard in our heart. Keep it there, that we may not sin against thee. And against all odds, Father, that is going on in the world today, the distress of every nation and the things that is now happening, we know, Lord, with the blessed hope that we're looking for, we can say all is well. We know, Lord, you started working us, you finish it. Even right now, Father, as thou feed us with thy living bread, break it down, Lord, and teach us thy way. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you, maybe silly. All right, once again, let's go to the book of Matthew 16. And we pick up our text. But last week we deal with the same verse of scriptures, and we jump to dealing first of all with the gate of heaven. So now we look into Matthew 16 again. And verse 13 onwards. Alright. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciple, saying, whom do men say that I am the Son of Man? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I call you, but I say unto you, and I call you Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, here we have the confession of Simon. And, that's Simon the Jonah. Jesus said, well, because of the confession, I'll not call you Peter. But upon this rock of your confession, upon your confession, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Now we all understand this verse or this passage very well. But what I'm talking about today is these gates of hell. We know what a gate is. I already defined to you that in every city you must have a wall to protect the citizen from the enemies. And around these walls there usually are many gates. And usually there is a main gate. Sometimes you have a side gate, a pretty small. But in Jerusalem, the wall of Jerusalem, there are actually 12 gates. And even you have one called the Dung Gate. Kind of strange for the name, Dung Gate. But if you want to know why it's called the Dung Gate, is because all the refuse, all the garbage within the city are taken out of that gate and dumped there. So that's called the Dung Gate. All right, you have one called the ship gate. All right, and then you have the eastern gate, and so on. So, in all this, we see about the gate is a door, a large door. Usually, is a gate always referred to a large door anyway. Gateway and entering and the going out of the citizen of that place. So in the daytime that gate is opened up, in the nighttime it is closed as we know it, and usually out of all these gates there is always a main gate where there is a big space. When you enter in, you find a very big space, and usually there is a lot of people buying and selling, like a marketplace. Now, I remember back in Singapore when I was young. For those of you who are my age, you remember. Those of you who are the next generation, like Zohar and Jimmy, you probably would not remember it. And even the KK, I think you probably don't remember those places. If you've been to Chain Charlie, how many of you have been to Chain Charlie? The modern Chain Charlie is not the old Chain Charlie. The old change alley. Why is it called the change alley? Because that's where the change is good. Not just money. Okay, there you find a lot of money changer, right? So back in those days, that is where the Kaliki, where the change alley is there's a lot of ferry that come from Indonesia, Malaysia, from the surrounding places, you know. Before airplane came to Singapore, back in those days, after the war, during the wartime, that's where all the sailor comes and that's they come there, they change money, and of course there are all kinds of activities going on. You see, and so you call that the gateway. In modern city, there will be a gate. That's called a gateway, huh? You know, the ferry comes there, you can enter through that. But in Jerusalem, as a city in the land, people are going out by camels, by horses and donkeys, and carts and whatever you have. So they enter the gate, you can see a big marketplace there. You have the money changer there, you have the tax collector there. There are those that deals with a legal issue. You have sometimes the elders of the city will be standing there. There's somebody going to get married. The rabbi will be there. So the man will be there and the woman will be there. The bride or the groom to be, and the bridegroom will propose to the one that he wants to marry by throwing his skirt before her. Will you marry me? So if that girl touches that skirt, yes, I will marry you. You know, so all this activity was taken out there in open space. You see, so the gate shows the dominion, the place of business, where the power is. And so if any enemy gets through the gate, then the city will fall easily to the enemies. You see, so you conquer the city by going through the gate and hold the gate, you know, and then you will win the battle. Okay, so now we understand that about the gate, and we talk about the gates of hell. In Chinese mythology, we have the 18 courts. Right? We have 18 courts. How many of you know the 18 courts? We have the 18 gates of hell. You have never seen the 18 gates of hell? How many of you know? Go to Hapa Villa. Go to Tabangang Ghana, and you see the 18 gates of hell. The 18 courts. All those, everyone will be judged going through the court, going through the gate into the courts. And if you're lying, they'll pull out your tongue and they cut it. Yes, that's what they will do. You know, if your eyes are mischievous, you're a peeping Tom, they will gouge out your eye. And you go through all these 18 courts, each one of them for a certain judgment. And then after you finish the 18, you go back to the beginning again. It goes round in circle. What a torturous life. That's hell in Chinese. Alright, so... So now, that's the gates of hell. But here we are looking at here in this chapter. Jesus said, and the gates of hell, in verse 18, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, so the gates of hell means the power of hell. The one who was sent from this power will be Satan. Alright, so we know that the word hell means, it doesn't mean that it actually a place like we talk about hell, you know, understanding. It's just a phrase. The gates of hell means anything that contradicts to spiritual thing that is true. Anything that contradicts to the heavenly realm. Either you are up or you are down. So Hell is below us, heaven is above. So when Jesus said, I will build my church upon the confession of who I am, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. It cannot prevail against this very revelation. You know, that's why I said this, the same thing. People in the end of message say that Abraham restored the word to the bride. Now that's not really true. That's not right in saying. Because the word of God was never lost. The word of God was never lost. It is always there. It's only the saints, the believers were lost. Because why? When Catholicism came into power, they substitute the truth with their dogmas, their creeds, and all their, well, you know, their imagination. So what then? When people are following the church, they do not know, because they expect these priests and teachers and to teach them the truth. So they were lost to the word. Not the law, the word was lost to them. They were lost to the truth. The same thing in the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why do they hold to all their traditions? Jesus said, you make the word of God no effect by your tradition. What tradition was that Jesus was talking about? It was the traditions of the elder. Someone who taught them and he passed down. You see? While somebody began teaching it, he passed on next generation. When he died, next generation continue. So these are the tradition of the elders. And I can tell you this, and you can be very sure, that what was given the first time, in the next generation, more added. More distortion goes down. Do you see? So by the time he reached the days of Jesus Christ, that is why they talk about washing hands before you eat. So where did they come from in the Bible? It's not there. So when they substitute the word of God, people do not know the truth. That's, you know, we understand, therefore it is the message was to call out the believer out of denomination and bring them back to the word. And that's what Brother did, right? Come out of her and get back to the bridegroom. Go back to the word. The word was never lost. Do you understand? So with the same thing, the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you know who Christ is, you confess that. Can that revelation be overwhelmed by the power of Satan? It's always there. If you have the revelation, you will not be moved. But if you have a sensation, you know what I mean by sensation? An emotion. Then you will be moved. You may be a Christian after, well, just like I said this before, you know, you did a survey. I don't know whether you know about it. It was in the newspaper. I think about 10 years ago when the charismatic churches was out there in Singapore, like New Creation, the City Harbour. So they did a census, they did a survey. It was a newspaper. And so it was reported when they asked about them, you know, about, you know, your religious life and all this. Say, yeah, I'm great, I'm a Christian, this and that. Then they said, what happened if you grow up in down 10, 20 years down the road? Will you still remain and hold to the faith that you hold now? And you'll be surprised, more than 20% of them say this. Well, I may turn secular. Wow. That means that what you believe right now, 20 years later, you can turn secular, you can turn, I don't want to believe anymore, I just go back to the world. Kind of strange. Now what are you believing for in the first place? You know Jesus said that if you want to build a house, you better calculate the cost. Rather than start building the house, the foundation on the floor, and then after 5 years later you have the wall. 20 years later, there's no roof. And you abandon it. And this is very common in African country. I've been back there, especially at Kampala. I see the same building there, year after year, 3 years later, 5 years later, see the same structure, incomplete, nothing, just just walls. And what a sight in the city, left like that. You know. So it is important that when you say that you have a revelation, do you really have a revelation? If you have a revelation, you will hold to it, and Satan cannot break that. But if you have an emotion, if you have a sensation, yes. So we are talking about this revelation. Now I want you to notice here, look at the Bible, the word, how it was written. Now, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God." No, he didn't say, "Thou art the Son of the Living God." Thou art the Christ. What is Christ? In Greek is Christo. What does Christo mean? The anointing, the anointed one or the anointer. Right? Anything that comes through us from God, okay, the revelation of God, the logo, the flow from God, the power and the spirit, all that is God, that flows out, that is called Christ. Do you understand? So, Peter was saying, "Thou art the Christ, thou art the Messiah." Messiah means Messiah, of course, means Savior. Right? But it means more than just that. It means that when you are the Messiah, you must be anointed with the Word of God. That's the reason why when Jesus claimed what said what he said, the Jews could not accept it. They can say he was, people can say he is the Christ is one thing. But when he said, "I am the Son of God," they could not accept it. There's a people that said, "Thou art the Christ, thou is flow, the anointed one, that the Lord, the Almighty Yahweh comes upon, because thou art the Son of the Living God." So the first thing we need to understand is it's a revelation of who Jesus is. He is the Christ. He is just not merely Yeshua. He's not merely just Jesus. You understand? And Peter did not say, "You are Jesus, you are Yeshua, the Son of the Living God." No, he is the Christ. And this is this revelation, Christ itself. Because we know, now we know who Christ Jesus is. Okay. But the next thing we need to understand is the same Christ that was in Jesus, or the same anointing that was in Jesus, is still in this world. Because God dwelt in His own word. And we need to foresee the revelation, the Christ. Because that's the longest. And the more that we know, the reason why we can enter into the Bible is because of Jesus Christ. Huh? Well, what is so much different from the Branhamite? You know, we know who William Branham was. That's it. It was amazing. We know who Luther was, sure. We know who John Wesley was, right? Yeah. We know who Paul was, we know this Moses, we know that. But there are, or there were, a Christ. But Jesus himself, he was the Christ. So because we know the Christ, we have the desire to enter into the anointed word that was given us. We desire to enter into the in-breath word that was given us. You see. But how sad it is for these others, they were so taken up by the prophets, signs and wonders, that they enter into the spoken word books. That's not meant to be. When you enter into the spoken word, what about this word? You forsaken this word. Is it not right? Can a man serve two masters? But people will tell me, "Brother God, don't say that. Because the prophet won't say contrary to the Bible." I say, "You say the truth. Then what are you entering into the prophet's word and not entering the Bible and look up and lay it out the way it should be known to you?" Huh? But we cannot know the Bible without the prophet, because the word of God comes only to the prophet. Is that true? You said I was taught like that. I know Brother Abraham said it, but do they understand it? Why he said it, and how he said it? As Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have eternal life. You don't have eternal life. He said it. I know he said it. You caught it. You go eat his flesh. Go look for his blood now in Jerusalem. Are you going to find?
No.
So don't simply just quote without a revelation. That's why it's so important that, you know, Jesus said to Peter, so I'll give you the key of the kingdom. You know, you talk about the keys and all this authority. Huh? The key means the authority to open a lock, a door. You see. And Peter was the first apostle. On the day of Pentecost, he took that key. He opened up the revelation. Is it not true? He doesn't know what's going to happen. Because Jesus didn't tell them that they are going to speak in tongues. Right? He just told them, just wait in Jerusalem. Tarry there in Jerusalem until you be endured with power from on high. And you will be my martyrs. My witnesses. So what happened on that day when they were sitting down there in the city of Jerusalem, in the temple area, and suddenly they start talking in tongues. And, wow. He may be speaking in Persian. He doesn't know Persian. John may be speaking in some Iranian language or whatnot. Let's see. What other language come from there? Wherever they come from. You know, from different places. Arabian country. And, you know, they were speaking in tongues, but the people around there could understand because they came from different places. Some of them might be speaking in Kaidi. You know. Or Phoenician. But then people ask, they say, what is this? These people are drunk. How did Peter stood up and said, no, these are not drunk, as he supposed. This is something was spoken of by Joel the prophet. Where did he get that? Huh? You see. When you have a revelation of the Christ, you need to go, because Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. When I go, I'll send you a comforter. When the comforter is come, what does he do? He shall lead you and guide you into all truth. Is that not true? And what do you think the Holy Spirit guides you? The Holy Spirit himself is the anointing. He's supposed to, he is to lead you into all his word. He cannot lead you in any other place. Where else? Nowhere. You know. The Bible said that we are supposed to rightly divide the word of truth, not rightly divide Brother Abraham's quotes and statements. That is not what he said. Yeah. That's why I'm not a popular person. I think I'm the most unpopular person in the entire message. Because from the moment back in the 70s when I started to move away and preach and wrote all those, my name is seem to be known to around the world. Yeah. And I remember the last several years ago when they had a convention here, I went just to, you know, a little fellowship with them. And when I entered into that room, and you know, those ministers looked at me. And after that meeting was over, the service was over, they gathered around, sit down, and I was just talking to somebody I know from the Philippines. And all the rest will come. They are curious about this Richard Gann. What a controversial person. And that's what was asked of me over in Uganda. I mean, Zimbabwe. By the manager of the Voice of God there. He invited me to an office for a bottle of Coke and sat down and asked me. He says, let me ask you one question, Brother Gann. Why are you such a controversial person? That's a very direct question. I frankly told him, I said, I'm controversial because I preach the scripture. I preach from the word of God. I don't preach from the quotes of Brother Brown. Oh boy, he was upset. Leave Brother Branham higher. Leave Branham higher. Oh, you're leaving Branham higher? Oh, who are you lifting up? You see, now is a time when there's so much confusion. The gifts of hell is sort of fight against this better revelation you have. You believe that the message of Brother Branham was so simple that it points us back to the Bible? This is a simple revelation. When I was in denomination, we thought that we have, well, Pentecost, the truth. Huh? I don't know about you, when I was in Pentecost, I think that we had the highest, we had the best. Yeah, we know, because Pentecost came out from all these various, you know. Presbyterians are down here, Methodists are down there, and Baptists are down here, Pentecost are up there. How we think that we have everything? We thought that was all right. And I was just waving the flag of the examination of God. Man, you be sure that I do that. You want my Bible, you know. I still have it with me. I have the seal of the examination of God on my Bible. The seal. You know. Until I realized when the prophet made the comment, you know, about the Trinity, then I realized, oh my. Denomination is not what it seems. And God opened my eyes to the truth. And then I realized Malachi 4, 5, and 6. The Brahman was sent to point us back to the Word. Simple, just that. And we come back to the Word of God. Because when you have denomination, it's an abomination in the eyes of God. Do you know that? Huh? Remember I told you once about this little humor about a boy, a little girl, a little boy. You know, a new family came and lived next door. And the little girl went out to meet the little boy next door in the fence, you know. And the boy says, come and play with us. Come play with me. The little girl says, no, I need to ask my mother, you know, whether I can come over and play with you. She went and asked the mother. Mom, the boy over next door, new boy over next door asked me to go play, you know, toys with him. And the mother said, what denomination, I'm going to ask him what denomination he's from. You know, if it's not the same denomination, you can't do that. Can't play. So she went up there and asked the little boy, I need, my mom wants to know, what abomination you are from. You know, you see the problem with that? It's very true, because if you're a Methodist, you're a Baptist. They're all abomination in the eyes of God. You know. So, that is so important that when we have this revelation, the devil will still want to fight. Wanted to kill this very precious truth that is given back to us in this generation. Huh? What about all this that you saw earlier on? All that's on the website, believe the signs, seek the truth, and whatever. These people have been in the message for 12, 20 years or more. And all of a sudden, the whole world collapsed. And now they're fighting the very truth that they claim to believe. What went wrong? You see, they're not feeding on the living bread. They are feeding on the statement of William Branham. And they are so hung up upon signs and wonder. And so if you can prove that those signs and wonder are false, then Brother Branham was a false prophet. Do you get a point? Yes. And sinner has the way. You know what? I know the Brother Branham. The one thing for sure, you know, I always wonder why the devil is so hung up about this message that we have. Because this is a message that put us back to the Word. The devil is not worried about denomination. Because after all, they are just, you know, a religious thing that's going on. I mean, as I said, we know that Satan wants people to go to church too, you know. Yeah, the devil wants you to go to church. But the one thing the devil don't want you to know is the truth of God's Word. If he can get you to charismatic or any church that, you know, all the tradition, people are happy, huh? Isn't that true? Yes. You see. So, when you look at this,
If the devil starts fighting against the very truth of God's word and destroy that, if he can prevail, we know that if you have the truth, you have the revelation, he cannot prevail. He cannot break it down. But he can certainly cause a lot of confusion in your mind. Now, how many of you, simply, because I'm very relaxed now getting this truth to you, because there are many things I want to share. How many of you, all this time that you have been in the message, okay? Whether it be 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, or 2 years, have you ever sit down and think and ask yourself a question? Am I in the truth? Is this the real truth? Now I'm not talking about believing Brother Branham as a prophet. I'm talking about what you have learned in this fellowship. Because over on the other side, we are wrong. Okay? So have you ever questioned yourself? Do we have the real thing? Are we on the right path? You know, for all these years that I know, I've been to so many churches in different countries and over to, especially in the Philippines. I've seen the thing going on after a while. People start to deviate from the word. You know, go to a certain direction. And even one recently from the Philippines started asking me for money. Years ago, he was with me. Associate with us together, ministering, having meetings and all that. Then he suddenly dropped off from the screen, the radar. And that was at least 30 years now. Then suddenly he came back and tried to get back to me with a nice email, and then later on says, I need money, brother. Again. They always do that. And I don't even know what happened. What happened to those people that he followed? And of course in the Philippine window, and that's a fact, many preachers are not called. They take it as vocation because there's no work for them to do. But if they want to do a ministry from the Lord, they need to learn. But no, they're not learning. They only learn how to follow where the money is. How to detect the smell of money. So what happened? What happened to those people whom he was following? How come they were not helping him? Asking for money for the roof, because he was in debt for this and he was in debt for that. I mean, there are a lot of people that are in debt and ask me to pay their debt. I'm not a debtor to, I mean, I'm not a, what do you call that, a debt setter. Or to free somebody from his debt. I'm not that. You know? You make the mistake, you pay for it. And you're supposed to be a minister. And the thing is, not only for minister, for all you believers, never be a borrower and never be a lender. If somebody wants to borrow money from you, you tell him, brother, I don't lend it. I'll give it to you. Just give them whatever you can give. They ask for 1,000. Sorry, that's too much. You know, if they really have a real need, they say, you know, brother Pierre, you don't borrow money for me, just give it to them, but they don't pay, it's okay. But don't lend unless you know who the person is that you are trying to help. Once you get into this spirit of borrowing and lending, you know, that's no good. Live within your means. So what is happening? Are the truth in the life of the people? Do you ever wonder whether what you are going through here in this fellowship learning? Are you on the right path? Brother Nice was very honest to speak the truth. When he told me, he said, Brother Glenn, the people are asking me to give them. And how can I give them what I don't have? That's true. And that's when God woke him up, opened up his eyes, and he started to follow what we have been learning here. That's it. God gave Brother Pierre the wisdom. The minister, the missionary was sent by America was from the same church that we were talking about earlier on. The pastor who resigned. You know. And he had a lot of CD of the teaching from that church. He listened to some of them. He was supposed to duplicate. He was told to duplicate them and send it out. But he felt that there are things that inside there that he doesn't believe in. Do you want to propagate some? Oh, even like the churches that believe that Brother Branham is coming back again. And he's going to preach again. Because the aeroplane is waiting, huh? The tent is waiting for him to ride the trail one more time. That plane has been purchased, not very long after Brother Branham died. This has been how many years out there in the tent? An old plane. Back then. They're keeping it for him to come back. How sad. Huh? You see? So what do we believe in? If we do not know the word, if our revelation is truth, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That's the reason why that day when I saw what the Lord was helping me to understand, I realized, I cried, I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm very sorry. I know well the word of God, and yet, of all the stupidity of things, I just caught one statement out of Brother Branham's quote, and I didn't even finish the statement. It trailed off from my mouth, and I was just ashamed. But the Lord exposed me to teach me something. You see. And I know it wasn't true. Just quoting Brother Branham's one quote, just like one quote. There were never two major prophets on the earth at the same time. I stopped. I couldn't say. And the missionary were looking at me. 5 minutes! We started in 5 minutes. I closed it. I said, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Honestly, I told them. I was wrong. Because I know. Because they were asking me. Are you saying that there were never two major prophets on the earth at the same time? You want us to show it to you? I said, you don't have to. I looked at them, I told them, honestly, you don't have to. I knew the scripture. I know there were two major prophets on earth at the same time. But I was just quoting off from Brother Branham from the book, Church Age book. It came up, and that brother who was the believer who brought me to see these three missionaries at Colonial Road, you know, the overseas OMF, Overseas Missionary Fellowship. And I just said, there were never two major prophets. You know, it just fell off. Because I realized the moment it came up from my mouth, the Lord was watching me. And I knew that I made the biggest mistake in my life. I just closed the meeting. And I walked home. With a young man. All the way from Botanical Garden. All the way to Queenstown. To Margaret Drive. That's a long walk. No word was spoken by me. No word was spoken by the young man. But by heart, I was crying. All the way. As I walked down, tears started streaming down from my eyes. I don't know how you feel that you are ever betrayed by the knowledge that you know of the truth, and yet you take something from Brother Branham, or you take something from any of those preachers, and you say something that is just contrary. You know how much it hurts. you know. And the Lord was speaking to me. I was speaking to me all the time. So now you understand. Do you want to take my word? Or do you want to take the word of the prophet? Without understanding. And in my heart I said, Lord, no. I'm sorry. I kept on saying I'm sorry. It was really a painful experience, but it wakes me up. Then from that day on, that was back in 1974. From that day on, you know, that's the reason why I start reading Bible and start understanding Bible. Yeah, I read Brother Graham's book, I listened to tape, I just read him within his own context. You understand? Because every sermon of Brother Graham, they will preach in right in his own context. You know. And if I listen to something, like the serpent seed. The first time I read the book, I said, you know, it's if a people who's not spiritual, they find it hard to understand what Brother Graham is talking about. Because he doesn't get straight to the point, you know, in the middle of this, and in the midst, and you know, things like that. But I understand what he was saying. And I went straight to the word. It's not difficult to understand that. You see. And so when I get this revelation that the word is the Christ, the anointing that God wants us to see, it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God's mouth shall man live by it. And every word that God spoke from his mouth, that which is God desire for us to know, have been concisely and precisely laid out in written form. That's what Paul said. All scripture is given by inspiration. All scripture is in breath of God. God breathed it. Every word that God that was written, God breathed it to be written down the way it should be written down. You see. You know. And for any preacher to come along and anoint it and take up a subject from the word of God. And when he's given the revelation, he opened it up and he uttered the word. And all those words that flows from his mouth. Remember all those words, you must collect them together and understand the revelation of what the preacher is talking about. He that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. Know what Brother Abraham said. Know what Brother Gunn said. Know what John Wesley said. It's what the Spirit of God saying to the church. If there be any truth that is expounded, that's why when Brother Gunn went to the pulpit, he took the Bible with him. He didn't take any other book with him. He didn't take any Larkin's book or Josephus book or anything with him. He just took the Bible with him. He read Josephus' book. He read Clare Larkin's and many other books. Why? I don't know if these people say he was a great prophet. God spoke to him. Then why is he reading all these books? Why is he reading all these other books of preachers and teachers? Why? Because he doesn't know everything. But they said, oh, Brother Graham knows everything. Because Paul knows everything. Paul doesn't know everything. Huh? All mystery will reveal and all that thing, brothers and sisters. That's scary. The word itself is all that which is given us here. That's why the denomination, they can say that this is the authority of God's word. This word of God is his authority. For the Christian life, for the Christian faith, for every doctrine, for every reproof, correction, and so on and so forth. This is the only one. Isn't it?
Yes.
So if it is so that this is it, it means there's no other books that is needed. You can read books, but you cannot use them as authority. So and so say, so and so say. Oh, today we see a lot of false prophets saying so and so, such and such a thing. You know, I remember back then, 20 years ago, I think you still can find that on the YouTube. Of course, every 10 years you get older by 10 years, right? Here was this man called King Clement. I'm not sure many of you know. Supposed to be a prophet with long hair, up to the shoulder, trying to look like Jesus Christ. And you know what he said? He said, oh, there is a new ministry, there is a new sound. You know, there's a new sound. And then he sings. You know, he sings with a sort of rock beat. Go on YouTube. And he is in partner also with the Benny Hinn. And you believe Benny Hinn to be true? No, I don't believe one of them. Not all these prophets out there call themselves prophets. Charismatic. They're charismatic prophet, not the prophet of the Bible. That's for sure. Like Balaam. Four for what? Four is all about money. Fiduluka. Any preacher who preaches for money is not a preacher of God. It's not a servant of God. You see the point? Yes. Preacher of God is concerned with the soul of the people. Every time you and me have a revelation, brother and sister, the devil will never be at rest. Every time you receive a revelation and strengthen your faith, there's always a trouble for your life. Look, brother Walter was telling me, he said, why all these things suddenly come upon me? You know, when you have truth, a lot of things start to seem to be coming against you, sort of breaking down. Sister Huda, Brother Pierre's wife, of course she got a cancer. That was a challenge. Everybody fears death. In their, oh yeah, I got this serious disease, I'm going to die. You know? But Brother Pierre consoled her. Brother Pierre prayed with her. The church there prayed with her. We pray over here for her. And the Lord did something wonderful. Her strength comes out. Her face shine. And all that was clear. After the, I don't know how many years later, again, something sudden, this cancer pops up in another place, somewhere you got cancer. And this time she said, I'm not afraid. And there was a real testimony. And people began to see. Even Brother Pierre's brother in California. And the brother's wife finally also saw the truth. And God gave them the visions of the earthquake that is coming. You know, God, when God does something for somebody, the devil, he's unhappy. And he's going to trouble your life and my life. This is the reason why this entire message. Why is it so messy? Because the devil is at work. Because he knows this is the truth. They restore God's people back to the word of God and get the people ready for his coming. You know, when the people out there who call themselves Christian, if their mind are not sure about the word of God, if they go by their tradition, all these things, the Bible warns us that Christ coming is like a thief coming in the night. Do you know when he's coming? If you know he's coming, you must be watchful. Isn't that right? As far as in the Bible, in the parables, Jesus said that the servant of the house, Because if the thief comes and the servant of the house is found sleeping, the servant of the house, especially the preacher. And that's why he talks about watchman, watchman on the wall. That's why the preacher needs to be watchful. But how many preachers are watchful? And what are they watching? What are they watching? The Bible says watch and pray. Huh? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch what? Watch the word of God unfolding, fulfilling in the hour that you live. So that we know when it's coming. Isn't it so? Because if we know a watchful, and we know the time, we know that if the thief is going to come at night, because we know the sign, we will not be taken out of the way. Isn't it true? So, upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon this revelation, I will build my church. Let us get to just one for today. The gates of hell. I want to turn to Matthew 11, verse 12. Some of these verses here first. Alright, the gates of hell is coming against the church that had the revelation which Christ built. Chapter 11, verse 12, and see what Jesus said right here. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent took it by force. Ooh, wow. Yeah, sure. That's for sure. From the day that John the Baptist preached the gospel, prior to that, the gospel was not introduced. John the one was to introduce. Huh? Because it's good news. Something is happening now. Grace is coming. Salvation is coming. Because prior to that, they were all in the law. Under the law. Am I right? Yes. So now Jesus said that from the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And violence took it by force. Oh yeah, remember Jesus said about the straight and narrow way? Huh? Isn't it? Broad is the way, wide is the gate, many enter in. Narrow the way, straight the gate, few enter in. Why? It's a very narrow path. And you know, when you are in the war, when you are fighting a battle, and you have a narrow passage to go out. You know how difficult it is to get in there, huh? Isn't it true? It's very difficult. There will be violence from both sides. So here we are. What Jesus is saying is this. When the gospel is preached, you got the truth, you have the truth, you have the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, you are entering into the straight gate. But there is the enemy at the gate. They're standing outside the gate to try to prevent you from entering in. Right? We want to enter the narrow gate of the gospel, but the enemies are there to fight you back. There are violence, and violence must take it by force. It's a spiritual warfare. Do you understand what is it? It's a spiritual warfare. The day that you become a Christian. Oh, how many of you said the day you become a Christian, everything is at peace? No problem in life. Everything is soft. Everything is smooth. If you are saying that, then I think you're a liar. Because the day that you become a Christian, yes, you can enjoy that my sins are gone. Right? True, isn't it? You rejoice and you repent to Christ. Oh, that's a cry of joy. My sins are gone. I'm born again. But after 1 or 2 days later, you find a lot of problems coming. Right? Violence is going to push you out. Oh, yes. You see, it's not an easy road. You are traveling to go on. That's the song. For many are the thorns on the way. That's true. Huh? There are two roads you may take. One by sight and one by faith. Take the word of God or what you see. What you believe is what will be. So you set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly in a higher place. Do not struggle, it's by grace. Set your wings to the winds of faith. They're eager in the air, watch how they fly. They don't struggle. For the power that makes them fly is already in the sky. It's that current, remember? Oh yeah, sometimes we do struggle a little bit. But you know when the eagle is a very strange bird. They will fly out there when they see a little cloud forming, when you know cloud is dark and storms and they get on flying out there. They enjoy the current. So when the storm gets bigger and bigger, oh my, the eagle will keep on soaring higher and higher because the current lift them up higher. You know. So we be like the eagle. Be free in the Lord. No matter what storm comes, ride with it. Ride with it. Because there is a calm in the center, in the eye of the storm. Isn't it true? You're bound to take by four. Two more verses of scripture. Alright. 2 Peter 1:12. 2 Peter 1:12. Oh, yeah, very simple verse. But I wonder how many people miss that. 2 Peter 1:12. Wherefore I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yeah, I think we all know them, huh? Is it not true? Year in and year, we know the truth, we're learning all this. And Peter said, I will not be negligent to remind you always. To bring you to your remembrance, all these things. Why do I have to preach all these things? To make you aware, to keep you on your toll. Because in the past, many of us, some of you here have been in and out through a lot of storms. Right, Sister Lucy Tang? We've all been through. Many of you, some of you have been through thick and thin, here and there. You see, the thing is this, we are always associated with people that we, well, grew up with. Or be in the same classroom when we were in school, or in the same university, same cohort, you know, that sort of thing, and we go to the same church, and then there's something happened, but we still remember them, that you know they're pulling you here and there. You see, you know, it's said like we see here between the two sisters. Huh? One on this side, the other on that other side. You know. But you know this one thing for sure, and I always say that this is true. Example of Abraham and Lot. Huh? See the character. See the character of Esau and Jacob. Look at their character. You know, with Abraham and Lot, here was Lot, it was a nephew. There's so much problem between the two sides of they are what they call the shepherd, the herdsman, you know, having some quarrel. So the brother said to the Lord, I tell you what, look at all this before you, north, east, south, and west. North, south, east, and west. All these four corners out there, the field out there. I give you the first choice. You go north, I go south. You go east, I go west. Choose. Abraham give it to his nephew to choose first. Give him the choice. The first choice. I thought it wasn't God that gave Abraham that I'll give you this land. But Abraham was willing to let Lord make the choice. And what choice did Lord make? In the wrong direction. Esau and Jacob. Yeah, Esau had the birthright, but Jacob knew what the birthright means. He wanted that. Esau knew that he was his birthright. But when it came time for the testing, my oh my, he's willing to give up that birthright for the bowl of porridge. And there's something. No wonder God has to bless Jacob. Had to bring. He knew Jacob. That's why he said, Jacob have I heard, I've loved, and Esau have I hate. You don't spurn your birthright. It's abomination to God when you have given the birthright to you. And what is your birthright? Huh? The inheritance of the name of Jesus Christ. You are born again, you have the token. If any time you get that out, God has no pleasure in you. Remember that. You see the difference? It's the same thing in his entire message. Give up the first choice. See where you go. Lastly, Revelation 2:6. But thou hast that which thou hatest, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Look at the Nicolaitan. You know? I don't know whether this Nicolaitan come from the name that you find in Acts chapter 6. Let's look for that. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. And this is why you have one of those seven deacons. You have Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Nicholas. Nicholas didn't come from this name. Perhaps he must be the one, nobody knows, but history was saying that he could have been the one that started this, you know, Nicolaitan spirit. Rise up and try to make a distinction between the clergy and the laity. Those in service from those who are not in service. That sort of thing. So we don't know. But the Nicolaitan is a bad spirit. You are trying to control the people. But how does the Nicolaitanism spirit work? It works by creating fear. Do you realize it? It creates by giving the people some law, some legalism, and put them in a spirit of fear. Terrible. Still today, there are many Branhamites that do not have television in the house. Why? Because the prophet said so. Because the television is evil, wicked. Huh? I have heard many, many different stories and interpretations. How can a television be evil? It's just a box.
Now it's not a box, it's a flat screen. Huh? It only has buttons and switches and remote. So what's so evil about the screen? Oh, because they all got a naked woman there and half-dressed woman on the screen. Nobody asked you to look at it. Oh, but even in the news they have it. So? Then you better don't go out of your house. Go to the supermarket. Go down to our children. You see it, many of them. Brother James, very moment when he came, he was looking and said, how comes all these women are dressing like that? Short. And the blouse, and some of them show the never base. That was called the never base. The devil. You know, women are dressed like that. Some of them wearing, you know, those sling thing, you know. I mean, it looks like a nightgown. You know what I'm talking about? The sling and then flappy, and then the short. You see. How could that be? How could that scream? You go out only you see it. You can't help. Billboards everywhere. Huh? Years ago when I was young, oh, when I went with my mother to a departmental store. You know, some department store, they sell women's underwear. The bra, the Brazil. Is it called Brazil? Or bra? You know, kind of feel uncomfortable when I was a little kid. What is this? Suddenly this is a woman's stuff. And you don't see advertisement. But today, you go down to some of these big mall, you pass by a shop, and you have big screen of a woman wearing trunk bra. Right? Is it trunk bra? And Wayako or something like that. Whatever. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. So you go out to a department store. You walk past, one side is a man, one side is a woman. Close your eyes. You know, walk away. Walk. You don't want to see. What's wrong with seeing a bra? A woman. It's there, it's everywhere. You don't have to see it on the billboard. You see it on the street whenever you walk down the lane, huh? You know, a lot of people just walking towards you. Some of them, the way they dress is just like for the beach. What sun righteousness is there? That's what the Bible says when we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are passing by. We are going to see this and we are going to see that. But the Bible just tells us to keep away from all appearance of evil. Is that alright? Nobody asks you to switch on the TV if you don't want to. But don't say the TV is an evil thing. No. The person who turns on the TV is the evil one. Isn't that true? And I always tell the main one minister, is the gun evil? I freaking ask him in the face. You told me that box is an evil thing. It's because Brother Bam said so? Let me ask you. Is gun an evil thing? Is a rifle an evil thing? He refused to answer. Because you know what I'm getting at. Huh? I said it's just a gun, it's just a rifle. It can't do anything. Until somebody picks it up, put a bullet in it, cock it, and pull the trigger. I said, you know, Brother Abraham kills a lot of animals. And people say that he's a wicked man, an evil man for killing innocent animals, and put up the trophy on the wall. What do you have to say to that? He's quiet. People have all kinds of opinion. Isn't it true? It's why. It's a bottle of wine, an evil thing. It's the same question, isn't it? Is alcohol an evil thing? Is oyster, right oyster, an evil thing? Sashimi, is it an evil thing? What? Roast turkey, roast pig, roast lamb, are they evil? Well, if you eat a lot of it, they see what happened to you. Then you know how evil they are. By itself, it's not an evil thing. That's what the Bible says, and everything be moderate. Shun all evil, isn't it? Like, is a casino an evil thing?
discuss, you know, everything. Yeah, so some people say it's evil because it, you know, create problem in the family. Yeah, sure. It's there. You want to go in there, have a look, no problem. I can go in there and have a look. Huh? And see what people are doing. How this thing work. If you want to go in there. But in the first place, when you go in there, you be sure that you're not tempted to play. Maybe go on there, exchange some money and then throw a baccarat or what poker or whatever. Or pull the one arm bandy. Hopefully that you get one you spend $10, you get 10,000. Imam, so the only thing is, why do you want to enter the casino? Shun the evil, because you know there's temptation there. That's true. If you go to certain place in Europe, like Amsterdam, you know, I was there in Brussels. A brother took us in a car, you know, and after the service night, he drove us out of the way, and we don't know where he was taking us. And he was speaking in French with some of the brothers from Conakry. Anyway, he took us to red light area. You know, he took us right there to show us, this is where, what's happening down here. And then, I was surprised too, you know, you drove down the side of the road, because the road is usually very narrow. The pavement, then the shops, rows of shops, all glass windows. Women are standing there, dressing up there in bikini. And men are walking there, and all. The brother from Conakry, from Africa, said, oh, this is what happened, this is what they have in Europe. Of course, in Africa, they don't have this. But there are women on display for sale, for pleasure. That's what it is now. So Baba just drove through, he said, this is what is going on in this part of the town. Suddenly, he wanted to say, brother, stop the car, let me get out and have a look. You are in trouble. You shun all evil, get out from that place. Isn't it right? So, we talk about revelation, we take the word of God. That is very true. Naked terrorism put the people in fear. This is you shouldn't do, that you shouldn't do. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we have the Holy Spirit and we are being led by the Holy Spirit. We don't have the do and don'ts. We don't have the thou shalt and thou shalt not. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the Spirit that guides us and leads us. And we know if we are filled by the Spirit of the Lord, that's what the Bible teaches us and shows us by the Word of God, by the Spirit of life. Avoid this. Avoid this. You don't have anybody to tell you. Television itself is not evil. Alcohol itself is not evil. It's how you use it. Internet itself is not evil. It's how you use it. Twitter, Facebook, computer game, they are not evil. It's how you use it. How much time you spend on it? Because time is wasted if you spend it unwisely. Do you understand? But you have someone come and try to control you. That's why I don't tell you that this you cannot, this you cannot. You know jolly well because you have the Spirit that leads you. The Spirit is your teacher. If I were to say this, then I'm forming a cult in this church. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have the Christ in you. And where the Spirit of Christ is, there is liberty. Liberty in that He leads you. And you should know by His leading. Liberty not that you can do anything you like. I'm free in Christ, but I'm still a prisoner of Christ. This is what you should remember. Amen? And don't let Satan ever come and trouble you too much that you're so bothered and don't know what to do. But hold on to the revelation that you have of what the Word teaches, of who Christ is, and what the Christ of the Word is all about. You'll always be there. And He will always be there for you, for me, until we see Him face to face. Amen? The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for that word of truth, O Lord. We commit all this that has been spoken and shared, Father, into your hand, that Lord, you bring it on further to feed your children. Help us to see the light in the hour that we live, Father. Lord, we hold fast to the faith that is given us.
strengthened by the word of truth, but the spirit of the revelation of this very living word in the written word. And the revelation is given to us, Father. We know the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, because upon the solid rock of Christ we stand, and all other grounds, they are merely sinking sand. So we thank you for the word of truth, Father. Bless now, Lord, in us, in Jesus' name. Amen.